Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live with their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Greetings, comrades!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. No, we're not communists yet, but we're practicing, so welcome, comrades, to Mailbag Day here on Wretched Radio. What is on your mind? Would you please send it? Send all things wretched, matter of fact, to idea@wretched.org. And if you would like to text 877-282-2337, Jimmy, would you like to hear my extended commentary before we get to the mailbag?
Absolutely.
I've got a political monologue prepared for you. Here it is. And I think everybody in Minnesota will appreciate this. Here it is. Oofta. Wow. Wow. What? That's it. That's my political commentary. Thank you for sending stuff. By the way, next week, would you please send a lot of stuff? I mean, a lot of stuff, because we're going to be dedicating the week to VU, your questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, whatever is on your mind, whatever you think is wretched worthy. Do those two words go together? Whatever you think is wretched, please send it, because we're going to dip into the mailbag every single day next week. I enjoy that, Jimmy.
Yeah, I do too.
I just enjoy it. It's the stuff of life. It's just the, especially in the context of the family or the local church, this is where our theological rubber tends to meet the road. I think more than in other arenas, because it is so personal. And it's always good to hear, hey, there's other people going through struggles. I'm not the only one with stuff. idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Joy. Todd, I was wondering what you think about so-called exorcists. Obviously, they have no real power, but when they talk about speaking directly to demons and casting them out, what's your belief on how much of that is actually true?
Yeah, I don't know. I hear those stories, especially overseas. Is it possible demonic activity looks a little different there than here? Yeah, I suspect so. It is probably more overt in some countries than in other countries. It doesn't mean that there aren't demons at work when they aren't just, you know, brah, look at I'm a demon type of thing. Instead, they are just subtly going about the business of undermining worldviews, destroying people's lives. So they're active, they're busy. Can they indwell a Christian? No. Can they indwell a non-Christian? Yeah, they can. There's not an expiration date in the Bible on individuals who are indwelt by demons. Now, the question, of course, is how do you get them out of there? And the answer is not that we currently possess the authority to cast out demons. Matthew 10, that was given to the disciples on that assignment. And if you say, well, if it was given to the disciples, it's given to us. Be careful with that. Because if you are going to apply everything that Jesus said to the disciples without considering context, then you better not bring anything with you on your exorcism trips. Because when they went on a mission trip, what were they commanded to bring? Nothing. Rely on the hospitality of strangers. So that applies too, right? Now, there are some things that Jesus said to the disciples that apply, other things that don't. And I believe that the casting out demons power is one that doesn't exist. You just don't see it, by the way. I'm trying to think, in the book of Acts, are there any demon casting outings? That's right. I just said demon casting outings. I'm struggling to think of one, but I suspect Jimmy will use the AI machine. That was kind of a hint, Jimmy, to determine if we see any. Furthermore, we're not given any instructions. in the epistles. There are no details about how this is to be done because I don't believe that we possess that authority anymore. You say, does that make us powerless to when we meet somebody who is possessed by a demon? Absolutely not, because you have the power of presenting the gospel. Because if the person hears the gospel convicted of sin and the Holy Spirit does a work of conversion, then they will get saved. The Holy Spirit will indwell and demon be gone. The Holy Spirit doesn't like roommates, especially demonic ones. So we preach the gospel to those people, let God do his regenerating work. And I believe the demon will flee. Short of that, I believe that is the end of our power when it comes to casting out demons. And perhaps there's videos on the internet of strange things. I don't doubt that strange things happen. I don't doubt that there is an overt demon activity. But I just don't see in the New Testament that you and I still possess that power and authority, but it doesn't mean we're powerless. Jimmy, any demon casting outings in the book of Acts?
I don't think there's very many, but Paul casts out the fortune-telling spirit in Acts 16.
Right.
But that's really about it that I really can gather. There was the sons of Sceva. That was a failed exorcism.
Right.
Yeah. So,
okay. So what this is not definitive, but when we don't see something that Jesus commanded in the Gospels that is played out in the book of Acts or explained in more detail in the epistles, this isn't perfect, but it should get your attention. Did something change there? And I think the answer is yes. Yes, it did. The instructions and power given to the original apostles was given to them for a specific reason at a particular time, and we don't see it playing out any further in the life of the first century church. Therefore, I conclude, don't go into the exorcism business. But if you disagree, we can get along, can't we? Please, over something like, please, this is not worthy of division, is it? 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Joe. Todd, I'm looking for help with reaching people who think that the Bible was written to simply control people, and it doesn't have that much authenticity. Specifically, the New Testament, I've been in discussions with people who say that it was just written down by rich people to control others. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I know that's wrong, but I need some help from you on how to display the historical and verifiable mode in which the New Testament was put together.
Got some good news for you. You don't have to answer that ridiculous, unfounded accusation. The burden of proof, it is squarely on them. This almost falls underneath Greg Kokel's tactics. It's a book that really you should read if you like sharing your faith. How do you engage and interact with people? I think the skill that Greg Kokel excels in better than anybody I've ever seen is not accepting what somebody says and putting the burden of proof on them to clarify, define what you mean. What do you mean by that? How did you come to that conclusion? Why do you ask that question? That's a really good tactic. And I think the same thing is true with this sort of the principle applies to the accusation that the Bible was just written to control people. What proof do you have of that? Now, they could say, well, historically, men have used the Bible to oppress people. And I guess I wouldn't argue with that, kind of a fruitless observation, but what does that have to do with the motivation of those who wrote it? Are you telling me that these men wrote something so countercultural, something that without a doubt was going to get them kicked out of the family, out of their community? They'll lose their career because they profess Jesus Christ as Lord. You're telling me these guys went, yeah, that's going to happen, but in short order, we're going to take this counterintuitive message, this stumbling block message, and I don't think we're going to get persecuted or stoned. No, that's not going to. Instead, people are going to buy it in spades. It's going to be like multi-level marketing or, I don't know, essential oil, something. They're just going to gobble this thing up. And then We're just going to sit in our castles and oppress them. Is that what you're telling me? Because I have no reason to believe it unless you have documents that you can share with me that are authentic and verifiable that would indicate there was some sort of apostolic meeting where they schemed together this plan to oppress people by writing something that is the opposite of oppression. I mean, why would John, for instance, write, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed? Well, anybody who was being oppressed would say, well, that's not saying that Christians are supposed to oppress one another. It's that Jesus liberates us. So why would he write something about liberation, being set free from fear, anxiety, sin, death, the devil, if the book were really intended to oppress people? All that to say, put the burden of proof on them. Don't accept it. Don't feel like you have to defend everything, because there is nothing in the actual manuscripts that we possess, which, by the way, increasingly early, that would indicate that the Bible was written to oppress. This is Wretched Radio.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched. masters.edu/wretched.
Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org.
Know your church fathers. John Chrysostom was the bishop of Syria and Constantinople in the 4th century. He was an eloquent preacher and earned the moniker Chrysostom, which means golden mouthed. He denounced abuses of authority in church and government and fought for purity of life and doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Why do I find that question so agitating? This is Wretched Radio. I think I know. Perhaps you just heard Jimmy read a question sent to idea@wretched.org about an individual who was witnessing to somebody, and the person said the Bible was just written to oppress people. And that's not the first time I've heard that, by the way. But it for some reason, it kind of rankles me. And I think the reason is because it has actually gained traction. And the only way that that has happened is because of just the lack of discrimination on the internet, the lack of discerning what is true and thinking through certain things. I mean, it would be like me saying, okay, so Abe Lincoln, he wanted to be president so that everybody would wear a stovepipe hat. And that's why I don't believe that Abe Lincoln existed. Okay, nonsensical, of course, but that's kind of the way the logic flows these days on the internet. What proof do you have of that? Well, he did wear a stovepipe hat. Yeah, so what proof do you have that he actually ran for presidency? You know, he just put up with the whole Civil War thing just so he could ultimately get people to wear a hat like his. I have no proof for that. There's nothing to substantiate that. And I can make up all kinds of ridiculous scenarios. Well, if you ever see the picture of him at the Gettysburg Address as he's standing over people, what makes him look so tall? The hat. Yeah, well, see, that proves Abe Lincoln wanted everybody to wear a stovepipe hat. Ay, ay, ay. Would you kindly send whatever to idea@wretched.org or text it, Bitta, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Sean.
By the way, I wasn't crabby at the guy who asked the question. Uh-huh. I'm crabby that we have to deal with that sort of nonsense. That's what I'm really, really...
Well,
these guys wrote it to oppress people?
Yeah, I don't get that logic. I mean, how many examples do we have?
It's all CRT.
Yeah, yeah.
It's using the whole casting off the oppressor. It's social Marxism now applied to the Bible. We're reading it back in. And I think you were just going to say that what examples do we have even have in Scripture? In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Paul told elders to not lord it over people, but to be a servant shepherd. Where in the world do you get the...
But Jesus says.
And furthermore, but Jesus says?
Yeah, Jesus says. He came to serve. Last is first.
Oh,
first
sure.
Is, I mean...
So where is the oppression in right. this? He came to set us free indeed. And further... Back in that first century, this is an anachronological fallacy. Back in the first century, do you think that it was as easy as it is today to rise to prominence, to gain a following, to bilk them and control? You can do that today better than you certainly could in the first century because of social media, internet, TV, radio, mass communications. People can do that. They can pull that off today. You can start a cult. But in the first century, all of these guys who wrote these books, the different authors of the New Testament, they were scheming individually to become controllers over what? What zip code? What territory? What group of people are we talking about here? And if you read, for instance, just read Paul's journeys alone. What did he get for his trouble? Shipwrecks, abandonment, beatings, imprisonment. He hardly became an oppressor. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. All of the apostles, they were martyred for the faith, with the exception of John, who was merely dipped in oil. You know, just a little blip in his oppression enterprise. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Sean. Todd, what happened to the new book you were writing?
What do you mean, what happened to it?
Why do you ask
that question? What do you mean by book? I'm just trying to apply some tactics to backpedal here. Currently, okay, here's what happened in the book that I was writing. It was originally titled Lord Over All. And the premise was to undermine Christian dualism so that we don't separate our faith from the rest of our lives. And with that particular positioning, it's like, yeah, it was there, that, you know, kind of the idea, but it didn't feel like the goal was for us to be 24/7 Christians. It felt more like a theological treatise on the sovereignty of God. And so with James, my editor, we discussed it and changed the title, and it opened the door. So the entire manuscript, it's actually sitting on my desk. It's a whopper. It's sitting there printed. So there is a book. It's just not a good one. So I am currently going through that book and making it gooder. And right now I have to confess to you, I'm so excited about it because it's far warmer, it's more pastoral, and it just makes Jesus look better. Rather than a clinical presentation of Jesus, rather than kind of a dry, dusty, theological tome, the idea is to show the vibrancy of the Christian faith and how anybody who understands who Jesus is just organically will live like a Christian. All of the schemes, all of the plots, all of the movements that we've created in an effort to be more Christian, I just don't think is the way to go about it. You follow the foundational formula that is given in Acts chapter 2 in the early church. And as you do that, increasingly you become Christ-like. And that means the totality of your life will simply be your faith in action, as opposed to, okay, I'm going to work. How do I bring Christ to work? Well, he's there already. The whole concept is his. Everything about work belongs to Jesus Christ. Everything you're doing, every breath you breathe, it belongs to you or to him. So your work is already Christocentric. The problem is we just forget. We don't know. We don't remember. So how do you remember? It's not a checklist. It's not a to-do list. It is increasingly filling your brain with Bible and your work decisions, how you, your integrity at work, how hard you work. It will all change. Okay, so for instance, two Sundays ago, Eric was teaching Bible study in Ephesians chapter 6. Oh, maybe last week. It's really good. And he was talking about slaves and masters. The application, of course, to today would be employer-employee. And the text is so clear. Don't just be a good slave when they're looking. Be a good slave, period. Why? Because you are serving the Lord Christ. And when you know that truth, now you go to work, not to be a Christian at work, but because your work is Christian. You say, but it's not a ministry. Your work is Christian because, well, frankly, everything is Christian. That's not sinful. And you're a Christian in that space. And you go about the business of being an excellent worker, better than everybody else. Why? Because now you know. Now you've studied the word, which is a means of growth for sanctification and godliness to become Christ-like. You know that you should be working hard as unto the Lord. So now your job is an act of worship. You go to work to worship. And you go to work to be a witness that your boss would go, "Well, I guess that dude's a Christian, but man, he works hard. I'm not going to lose that guy." What a testimony. Everything about the Christian life is Christian because everything on the planet is about Christ. And so this book seeks to show how we can simply be, I'm going to use the word mindful of that, and walk in that. So I think I'm currently edited up to chapter 14. I've got about 8 chapters to go, which I intend to have finished before Thanksgiving, off to James. And I think it's going to be produced fourth quarter next year. And we're thinking about how we're going to do that. I hope that this is going to be a book that helps people, that helps them to live a non-dualistic life, to be a 24/7 Christian who is Watch this, Jimmy. We're going to go full circle. Set free. Set free, not just in the standard classic categories of sin, death, and the devil. No, set free. Liberated to live like a Christian, a unique Christian. Just with your giftings, with the situation that you're in, that you live in that, you excel in that. With your own personality, the non-sinful parts, with your skills, your preferences and desires, how you like to live, you go, girl, you live that way. Do it Christ-likely, but you get to be set free to not be a cookie-cutter Christian. God is not a fan of everybody put on the Christian uniform and march in lockstep. No, he's got us scattered all over the place so that we can be witnesses of his. Because after all, isn't that the purpose for the Christian? This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Former ESPN host Sam Ponder just said what every sane parent has been thinking, but most have also been afraid to say out loud. Her daughter's middle school basketball team was forced to compete against an obviously naturally born boy, and Ponder watched her child get physically dominated on the court. She called it maddening. And she's absolutely right. Critics accused her of profiting from controversy, but Ponder fired back and said she's lost millions for speaking truth about biological reality. Pennsylvania's radical Democrats, well, they're turning the Keystone State into an abortion sanctuary. 7 extreme bills just passed the Senate Judiciary Committee, all 14 Democrats voting yes, and every single one bankrolled by Planned Parenthood's Political Action Committee. Go figure. Speaking of Planned Parenthood's death machine, 7 Democrats just pledged tens of millions of dollars in taxpayer money to keep the abortion giant running despite federal defunding. California's throwing $140 million at them, New York $35 million, Massachusetts, Washington, Illinois, Oregon, and Hawaii, they're piling on more blood money. Planned Parenthood killed 402,000 babies last year. In genuinely historic news that the mainstream media is going to minimize, Japan just elected its first female prime minister. Unlike the left's obsession with identity politics, this lady earned it through conservative principles. She opposes same-sex marriage, rejects separate surnames for married couples, and wants a stronger military to counter China. Imagine that, a female leader who doesn't need pronouns in her bio to prove she's a woman. And persecution of Christians continues worldwide. In South Korea, at least 71 children were recently reunited with their parents after Sudan's Islamic government deported Christian mothers in a religious crackdown separating families. Meanwhile, in Uganda, a Muslim man severely beat his wife and 2 children for attending church, then gathered a mob to demolish the Fit for Jesus Evangelical Church building. His wife and kids spent 3 days hospitalized, the 9-year-old with a fractured arm. And this is the reality Christians face every single day while Western churches debate pronoun hospitality. Folks, as we tell you so frequently, please make sure that you're continuing to pray for all of our persecuted brothers and sisters all over the world. And in Canada, their COVID tyranny continues claiming victims. A student at Ontario Tech University was forced to take an entire extra year of classes after his religious exemption for the COVID shot was denied. The university claimed his sincere religious beliefs were just, quote, personal preference. Now he's appealing to the Human Rights Tribunal, arguing that they can't play theological referee with his faith. Remember when bodily autonomy mattered? Yeah, it matters when it suits one particular side. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you could do at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Bread of Life. Just as God gave life to his people in the desert by providing manna, so Jesus gives life to his people through his body broken on the cross, which we remember in the breaking of the bread in communion.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you don't get on it, you're going to force us to AI. You don't want that. We don't want that. This is Wretched Radio. Today is, and all of next week will be, Mailbag Day, which means We need lots of stuff from you. So questions that you might have, conundrums, church issues, you see something wretched, send it, please, to idea@wretched.org. You can also text 877-282-2337, because if you don't, Jimmy's going to have to go to the AI machine and make stuff up.
Just make it up.
Which pretty much the AI machine does a lot. I'm even getting a little bit skeptical of AI when it comes to doing any sort of research. I keep yelling at it, quit making stuff up. Oh, sorry, there must have been some confusion. No, there's no confusion. Go find this. I need the original source. I need to see the link so I can make sure that it's not taken out of context. And even when you tell it not to hallucinate, it will. So I'm like, it's there and it's helpful and stuff. And I'm even starting to think, even though I sometimes think AI is kind of like a research assistant, there are a lot of pastors that will have that, especially guys that are just like super busy running a lot of stuff and they're preaching or teaching. But like professors even will have research assistants to, you know, just go find all of that stuff, compile it, bring it in, and they disseminate it as they see fit. Well, AI can be like that in my mind, but increasingly I'm like, so what would happen if I fired the research assistant? Oh, I'd have to go back to doing everything myself. Would that be the worst thing in the world? I don't think that we should make a law where there is no law for pastors when it comes to how they manage their time. Because I think there are some godly pastors who would say, I can use the AI machine. It's not writing my sermon. It's just gathering stuff for me, and it's saving me a lot of time. Okay, you rock on. On the other hand, I can also see the argument, if pastors spent more time in the Word, could that possibly produce a bad fruit? Could that be the worst thing in the world as the guy grows in knowledge and godliness? I don't know. I'm just kind of chewing on going back to like being Morgan. Was it Morgan Stanley? The old fashioned? No. Who was it, that old commercial? Remember that guy? Great actor. Old guy. Great voice. They make money the old fashioned way. They earn it. Do you remember that commercial?
I do not.
Oh, that was a biggie. And I can't, it was like, what's the bull one? Morgan Stanley, I guess.
Oh,
it was one of those guys and great classic actor. They earn it. And isn't it funny how some of those things just become a part of the national consciousness? Well, at least they used to. Not so much anymore. We're so fractured, but I digress. Send stuff is what I'm trying to say. 877-282-2337.
Smith Barney.
They're not even in business anymore.
No, from 1979.
You know why? Because they didn't use AI. They did it the old-fashioned way.
That's right.
Maybe not. I don't know. I'm confused.
All right. This is a text from Elizabeth. Todd, our church is doctrinally sound from the pulpit, but we have a youth group leader who is unfriendly to the parents. We have two boys who will be entering the age range for the youth group, but are apprehensive about sending them to the youth pastor. What do you think we should do?
Well, I'm only getting like one little view of this here. I wonder if there's more to the story, because a youth pastor who's maybe doesn't have great interpersonal skills with adults, I don't think that would be a disqualifier. I think it would be an opportunity to help the guy. When we see church as the place where we genuinely one another, was just listening to a Phil Johnson sermon because we were preparing something it's going to be out soon on Phil Johnson. He was in 1 Corinthians 16 and he was talking about the imperatives for pastors. And it was this classic. It was from 7 years ago. Don't be coy. Don't be clever. Don't be cool. And don't be something else. That began with the letter C. It was just awesome sermon. And he's talking about the mandate for all believers to stand firm, all believers to be defenders of doctrinal clarity. That's all of our jobs. And that's what the church is about. The congregation's role, among other things, besides, I think, participants in the holding of the kingdom of the keys, the priesthood of all believers doctrine, You are to be a defender of theological precision, that the Bible is being preached rightly. In other words, you participate in the life of the church, and that makes sense in light of the 30-some one another's. We're there for one another. This is something that I think every pastor should be willing to say. Congregation, I'm pleading with you to hold me accountable. Please, the second you hear something wonky that is like, whoa, that's a problem. You know, not a disagreement on something where we can disagree, but it's like, looks like Friel's getting into trouble there. Please come to me. I need you. We need each other. The elder is not an emperor sitting on a throne. He's a co-laborer who has just been given some authority to lead the church, but not to rule it over the church. The whole context of the church is one another, one another, one another. So if you got yourself a youth pastor who appears to have an area that's a little bit soft and deficient, then shore it up for him. Help him out. Bring it to his attention. Love on the guy first. Show that you're not an enemy. Pray for him. And then saddle up next to him at an appropriate time and say, hey, let's talk about this. And however you choose to do it, so that the guy can be helped. And in the meantime, unless the kid is a rotten teacher, I don't think that would be something that would prohibit me from sending my kids to him. If the kid's a knucklehead when he's preaching and teaching and being silly and trite and not helpful, frankly, I wouldn't send my kids there. I don't need more of that influence on my children. I need dignified, mature, godly. Pull them up. Bring them up to your level. But short of that, I think you can still send just based on what you've sent. And then one another, the dude. That's in the Bible. 877, you got something?
Yeah, I would just say also to add on to that, because she mentioned that he's been unfriendly to other parents.
Sure.
Don't vent to each other. Don't do the whole backbiting, talking, gossiping thing.
No, I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Having said that, so Jimmy, here's the scenario. All right. Let's just say I'm a church. I've noticed the youth group guy, he's kind of snippy. And it hasn't just happened once. That would be like, whatever, one up. Second time, meh. Third time, I'm starting to go, I think I'm seeing a pattern here. I might wait till the fourth or fifth time. And if I experience that, Jimmy, I'm asking you, could I ever go to somebody else who's got their kids in youth group and say, hey, have you ever experienced anything with the youth pastor and your interactions with him that perhaps are worth commenting on?
Oh, yeah, I think you can definitely do that.
As long as your motive isn't to just trash the guy.
That's right. That's right.
And to certainly gossip. I think there's got to be careful, though, because while we can use that as an excuse, and we can be so self-deceived when it comes to gossip.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you. We think that caveats give us a pass. Hey, I'm not gossiping here, but that youth pastor is snippy. Okay, well, what just happened there? I deceived myself into thinking I wasn't being a talebearer when I was. In fact, in that instance, I'd be a factious individual. So be careful. Make sure your motive is correct. I do think you can discuss it. But then if you're going to do anything about it, don't keep discussing it. Don't. And infecting people. Because maybe some have had a perfectly fine interaction with him. And now you've planted a seed. So I don't think we should say there's never an opportunity to do that, but we really need to be wise and mature when we go about doing it. Now, if, madam, there's more to the scenario than what that letter let us understand, send it 877-282-2337.
So let me ask you this, because you said we caveat gossip, and we do that. We definitely do that in the church all the time. Where did the whole thing come from? You may not know, but I've heard it so much. Well, it's not gossip if it's true.
Well, it's not what's being communicated. It's whether or not it's needed. Is discretion and wisdom being applied? What's the motive and the intention? What's the goal? If the goal in our communication is to vent, feel like we're in the inn. We like sharing it because we just like, we knew something that you didn't know, or we don't like the individual that we're talking about and it's kind of a chance to hack them at the knees. I don't care if it is true. That it's, I think with gossip, it's not just the contents. I think almost more than the contents, it's the motivation. What's driving me to want to share this with somebody? And if it is not for their betterment, genuinely for their betterment, for their good, for the health of the body, then I got to tell you, it's probably time to zip it. And you will discover when you practice that kind of discretion, I wish I knew of a Greek word to make it sound all theological. You will just feel good. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Not battles with other people, battles in your life. Dr. John Crotch breaks down theology you can actually use with Integrated. And Pastor Brad Bigney, he's helping your marriage thrive instead of just survive. Dr. Adam Tyson speaks truth into the hearts of young men, all on your phone and all for free. So while the world's feeding you garbage, you can be feeding your soul with solid biblical truth. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. It's free, it's powerful, and it's exactly what you need in this upside-down world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where Faithful Gospel Partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Attributes of God. Psalm 115, verse 3 says that God does all that he pleases. God is sovereign over his whole creation. He has the right and the power to govern all things according to his will. Nothing occurs in your life that God, in his sovereignty, has not allowed. He is working all things for his glory and the good of those who love him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now we have two phenomenon is singular. Phenomena. We got two of them. This is Wretched Radio. The first phenomena is how you feel when you practice discretion. I can't describe it to you, but I feel it. And in 2025, that's all that matters. I feel it, therefore, it must be genuine. But there's just a sense of when you're in a conversation, you know something about the subject at hand, but you don't share it because You don't think that it is going to shine a good light on the person that is being discussed? I don't know what the emotion is, the sentiment, the synapse that fires, the serotonin that invades my happy center in my brain, whatever. It's like, that was good. That was good to do that, to not share that about somebody. You just feel good. And I think it's because you're being godly, you're being loving, you're being considerate, you're acting like Jesus, who never gossiped. And there's a reward. There's just an immediate reward. And I wish I could come up with a word for that, because that's the better stuff. The lesser stuff of life is, well, for instance, the plate of chicken salad I'm trying to eat during the break. Okay, the chicken salad is nice, especially if the chicken were done with a sous vide. But that's not like the big stuff of life. Accomplishing something. I just saw a clip. It popped up in my feed. It was going back to the year 2000, I believe, at a Passion conference. It was John Piper's historic sermon about, you know, don't waste your life. And the key visual that he used was, you might remember this, seashells. He did a compare and contrast these two elderly women who I believe, as I remember, I didn't watch the whole thing, but as I remember seeing it years ago, they went on a mission. They became missionaries in their 70s, and they ended up driving over a cliff and dying, something like that. And people would go, oh, that's just tragic. And he said, that's not tragic. That was a life well spent for Jesus Christ. Would you like to hear tragic? Here's a story from Reader's Digest. There's a dated reference for you, but this was back in 2000. It was basically somebody talking, you know, what to do in your twilight years, your senior years. And they're interviewing Ben. Harold plays golf and his handicap has come down from 18 to 14. And Sarah is now able to do the macrame that she always desired to do. Jolene and, did I use Harry yet? Jolene and Harry. A lot of Harrys in that generation. Jolene and Harry, they retired to Florida, where they gather seashells on the seashore. That's tragic. That's a waste of your golden years. And Piper pleaded with them, don't buy the lie. Don't buy it. That is not what the Christian life is about. There are bigger things. There are higher things. There are rewarding things. And one of those things is practicing discretion. Somebody coin a word for that. Smush two Greek words together. Let's coin a new phrase. That this wonderful sense of being obedient to God. Maybe that's it. It's just the joy of being obedient. Maybe, I was going to say, it could be the joy of actually applying wisdom, but then I couldn't have that feeling because I ain't got none of that. There are bigger things in life, and it's not the stuff the world touts. It's being obedient to Jesus. It just feels good. There's a phenomenon. You want to know the other phenomenon, Jimmy? Glad you asked. Just got a text from we have a friendship with a real estate agent that we've known now for years, and he just informed me that he's at the closing for our old house that he sold for us. Why is that bumming me out? It's not, I never think about the place. If I ever do, if it ever comes up, we drive by it. It's like, oh, we had good memories there. I remember the memories, but not the house itself. And now it's being sold again. And I'm kind of like, oh, that's a bummer. Jimmy, what is that phenomenon?
I'm not really sure what that's called.
Well, it's a phenomenon. I'm just telling you. House blues, something like that. Okay. Well, there's memories attached to that stuff, especially if you raise the kids there. Oh, man. But if you'd ever watched a movie, we just don't seem to question it. And somebody's having a flashback. Have you ever had a flashback that's that vivid? I don't. I mean, that's like, you're watching it recreated and acted out. I get that. It's, you know, a device that's used. But my memory would be like, the kids were homeschooled in that house. That's it. I don't remember a particular lesson. That's about all I got. They were homeschooled there. And now that it's being sold again, we haven't owned the house now for 8 years, and it's being sold. I'll be fine. I'll be better if you can explain that phenomenon. Please send it to 877-282-2337.
This is from Jeff. Todd, I know that for pastors and elders, there are sins that disqualify them from those offices. Is that true for other areas of ministry? For instance, if it were discovered that the man who sang and played guitar during worship had committed adultery, would he still be able to serve in that capacity after repentance?
You would not be able to find a direct verse that would be like, okay, for worship leaders, here's the credit. First of all, the whole worship leader position is a very new phenomenon. Very, very new. At best, you used to have choir directors, but they would be heard but not seen. Nevertheless, you would have to, therefore, take a principle. What is a worship leader doing? That is not a small position. To me, a worship leader, honestly, this could change a lot in a lot of churches. I think it's a leadership role, hence the term worship leader. What are they leading? They're leading God's people in singing praises to the Almighty. Whoa. Now, you can't read 1 Timothy 2 and 3. You can't read Titus 1 and say, oh, okay, the qualifications for a worship leader are because they don't have that position. But we do see that there are indeed qualifications of an elder and a deacon. I think we can take the principle for that and apply it to a position like someone who leads worship. I absolutely do. So if they would not meet that standard and those criteria, now, do they need to be able to teach? It depends on what their worship leading looks like. I have to tell you, I would not say that it's wrong to do that. I get that. Today's style of music, it kind of necessitates it because it's not as easy to find your place. It's like, when do we start? Okay, we're doing the bridge, the chorus. Okay, it's not as easy as hymn singing. So I understand that. I don't have like an axe to grind about it, but I've seen that position expand way beyond just leading the music, teaching, talking between the songs, praying. That individual is a participant in the worship service, and the bar, the criteria for that, if they're teaching, then they have to have the gift of teaching. If they aren't they're just doing the music up there, then I think the other qualifications apply. They need to be a godly individual. They need to be somebody who is dignified, somebody who's not addicted to wine. Now, do they need to have the gift of hospitality? Yeah, we debate that. But the point is, there should be standards for those who are leading. And I think a good place to start would be the qualifications of elder and deacon and apply them to anybody. Teachers in the classroom? Yeah. Now, I get it. I'm not naive. I can hear it. Do you know how hard it would be to get fill up all of these roles? Yeah. Yeah, I do. And I feel that, but I also feel the necessity to be obedient to God and to have a standard that pleases Him and doesn't just fill the role. And so I think it depends on what the worship leader is doing. I think it depends. But I to say that he's without qualifications, no. And if furthermore, if somebody, was it committing adultery?
Yes.
Jimmy, was that the scenario?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Ongoing, still, how long has this been going on?
Yeah, he said, well, after they repented, could they go back?
Well, in? That's, well, here's a question. If somebody who is a professing believer commits adultery, will they ever be above reproach? And I think you have the answer to your question. I think sometimes, and I feel the practical pressures of the need for help and volunteers in a church. Believe me, I do. But if we don't have a higher view of God and His church and how it operates, I don't think it will be a blessed church. And I think the church that makes some of those decisions like, you know what, we're just not going to have a very good or a worship leader at all. We're just going to have to muddle through because of the scenario. I think God blesses that because God is pleased when we're striving to be as obedient as possible. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.